We are reading from the article, The Difference Between the Science of Kabbalah and Religion. Religion assumes that the Creator changes his attitude to the person depending on the person's actions. The science of Kabbalah, however, states that the upper force is invariable, and the actions of a person can in no way affect it. Instead, the person's actions can change himself. He will be able to perceive the upper governance differently. If his own changes are aimed toward greater resemblance, he will be able to perceive the Creator as kind and good by increasing the difference between his properties, reception, and those of the Creator, bestowal. He will feel the Creator's attitude as more negative. There are many expressions in the Kabbalistic texts indicating the invariance of the Creator's attitude toward the created beings. I do not change my name. I, the Lord, do not change, actually, to me. He is good and bestows goodness upon his creatures. Good and bad. Gilad, please start from the beginning. I was offline. So we're starting again. The difference between religion and Kabbalah. Religion assumes that the Creator changes his attitude to the person depending on the person's actions. The science of Kabbalah, however, states that the upper force is invariable, and the actions of a person can in no way affect it. Instead, the person's actions can change himself. He will be able to perceive the upper governance differently. If his own changes are aimed toward greater resemblance, he will be able to perceive the Creator as kind and good by increasing the difference between his properties, reception, and those of the Creator, bestowal. He will feel the Creator's attitude as more negative. There are many expressions in Kabbalistic texts indicating the invariance of the Creator's attitude toward the created beings. I, the Lord, do not change. He is good and bestows goodness upon his creatures, good and bad, to the evil and to the good. Good and bad, evil into the good. The upper light is absolutely static. The upper light is in complete rest. Therefore, a prayer is called self-judgment or self-analysis. This is when a person does not appeal to the Creator, but judges himself instead and analyzes himself with regards to the upper invariable force. See the explanations in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot about the path toward the purpose of creation. As a person changes, he corrects himself relative to the invariable and absolute Creator. This attitude toward himself and toward the Creator constitutes the difference between Kabbalah and religion. Even though religion calls for certain personal changes, religion is based on pleading with the Creator. In this world, religions are similar to the most ancient beliefs, which extensively practice bribing the upper forces of nature. Kabbalah is rejected by religions as mass religion is based on the conviction that a person need only ask the Creator and everything will change from above to his advantage, as the Creator will turn his face to him. That is, a believer is convinced that the Creator exists and governs everything. In order for anything to improve, one need only ask the Creator instead of changing himself. Religious masses interpret inner changes as performing good deeds, such as helping others out of compassion, but not changing one's nature and making it similar to the Creator. In a conviction in the change of the Creator's attitude to the person, it leads to, a conviction in the change of the Creator's attitude to the person leads to envy. Who is treated by the Creator with greater love, and who is more divinely chosen? It causes antagonism to arise not only among people, but also among religions. The representative of various confessions dispute whose prayers the Creator is inclined to answer more willingly. Kabbalah asserts that the Creator is invariable. In the process of a person's correction, they deserve to see an improvement in the invariance of the Creator's attitude. Therefore, the more corrected a person is, the more they will justify the Creator's action. Kabbalah states that instead of praying, one should rather be changing consequently. Kabbalah evokes hatred from the religious groups as it indirectly accuses them of hypocrisy. To better understand the attitude of Kabbalists to the Creator, we can take a look at a Kabbalistic prayer book. It contains no ordinary words that express human emotions. Instead, it consists of numerous symbols designating spiritual actions that a person should carry out while correcting himself to consequently receive the upper light. This is the difference between the notions of a religious God and the Kabbalistic Creator. The Kabbalistic study of the structure of the universe gives a person a clear idea of the Creator, whose properties are at the very top of the spiritual ladder, and of himself, who is at the bottom of this ladder. The rungs of the ladder represent the various worlds. The purpose of creation is to independently ascend and merge one's desires with those of the Creator. This ascent involves an inner change of the person's properties from an egotistical intention in all of his thoughts and desires to an altruistic intention. Man ascends the rungs of the ladder, each one characterizing a degree of similarity to the Creator. Naturally, studying the structure of the universe in such detail prevents a person from imagining that his relationship with the Creator is dependent on his requests. Imagine a perfect parent in our world. It is obvious that a child cannot evoke any additional love for himself by any of his actions, as parental love is eternal and perfect. The external projection of this love, the perfection of the child, the perception of the child, depends solely on the states that a person must go through in order to become acquainted with the whole of creation, to gain experience, and become equal to the Creator. From this, it follows that even the desirable transformation we can make in ourselves, and consequently feel the Creator's unfailing good attitude to us, can in fact be hardly called correction. This is because we must go through all the levels, extremes, states, changes, and sensations in order to acquire the experience and ability needed to feel the entire universe from end to end. Correction only means our attitude towards whatever occurs to us. When, regardless of what happens, we evaluate and accept everything that happens as being absolutely beneficial, this arouses a sensation of happiness and pleasure. This leads to a situation when a person discovers that nothing really changes at all, except his attitude toward the constant state he exists in. He was created in this state. and has always existed in it. It goes without saying that the study of Kabbalah provides a concept of creation and a person's place in it that naturally deters from his prayer. Yet, it is the most important that and central act in religious practices, and everything else is organized around it. In this case, the wisdom of Kabbalah naturally directs the person toward the inner reflection and transformation, which alienates him from performing rituals and following any religious injunctions. That is why all religions oppose Kabbalah, and Judaism leads this opposition. I was written a little faster than the narrator. He'll finish in a minute. Well, I would say there's nothing to add here. This is a translation, and I saw several places where we should polish. He's referring to the Hebrew. I would recommend expanding it. You will see that I said maybe just half a sentence in every place here. So if you can write some additions to this article within it, add examples about the ladder of degrees. You can go back to the origins and take verses and sayings from that, what Baal HaSalam says about it, what Abbas says about it, an attitude. Turn this short article into maybe a 5-6 page long article. Add to it some original text to it to give it some stability and reliability. I think that what I wrote is only what I was thinking of expressing at the moment. At that moment, it is just my own narrow perspective, and it's not everything. It's just the difference between religion and Kabbalah. Of course, it doesn't end here in this article. It doesn't represent all the relationships and everything that it, even about prayer. You can say more. There's prayer in Kabbalah too. What does the prayer mean here? What does it mean here? What does it mean that I judge myself, that I test my own attributes opposite the Creator's, and as a result come to the plea, meaning that one feels within the need and the desire to change and consequently turns to the Creator and asking for the strength to change. So one turns to the living God, to the origin of the forces and the thoughts and the examples of how one should change. It's not a law like gravity or something that we think of as a still force, but turning to the Creator should be for the purpose of self-correction, not for some mercy. The there should be a plea, and within it there should be a request. But the request should be one for correction, a creative request, where one puts one's entire understanding of how to change, what one wants to change to, what one wants to equalize with, meaning the correct kli, the correct prayer is raising man, whether reshimot, and an understanding of what I want from my current state, which state I want to come to, where all I need is the strength to do it, but I do understand the future picture, I feel it, I want it, meaning I need it. It has to be a complete need, out of the sensation of lack that I don't have it, I come to know it. And only then is the prayer accepted, as Bala Sulam in many places describes, only then it is called complete prayer. After you do all this, all these works on this article, try and bring them together, all the sayings and everything, so that you have like a group article that will present the real difference between Kabbalah and religion. And after some time, we'll maybe a few months later, we'll go back to it and add some more and add some more. Then all the articles will be the result of our collective work. And the articles will be, will present our perspective of this Havaya. Yes, questions, please. I don't see anything from here. No questions? No. In the spiritual roots are all the prayers of all religions aimed at what you write here. I didn't quite understand the question. Are all the prayers of all the religions aimed toward, well, I don't know, the religious person who prayers for to change his situation. He feels the situation is bad, so he prays to the upper force. It doesn't matter how, what name one gives it, or what religion or faith one comes from, but it is a person who asks of the upper force to change one's state. Is not asking of the upper force to change him. He's not asking of the upper force to change his nature. He's asking, make me feel good. I feel bad, make me feel good. And here there's a contradiction, because the upper force gives us everything we have, meaning if one feels bad, of course it's because of the upper force. So why did the upper force make one feel bad? So that man will not forget about him and turn to him again and ask of him to do good. What does the upper force get by sending pains to a person? By demanding of us to to turn to Him? What is this an egoistic force that demands of us to give it attention as an almighty force? So one begins to think, well, maybe there isn't just one upper force here that makes me feel bad and also asks of me to turn to Him. This is not like an upper force, you know. It's like a parent hitting a child so that the child would be dependent on him. Is that called a loving attitude? Of course not. So such thoughts produce the thoughts that there are two upper forces, a good force and a bad force. The bad force makes me feel bad, and I run to the good force and ask of it to save me from that force that gives me trouble. And this is a problem that, well, especially in Judaism, they insist on the principle that there is none else beside Him. In other religions, well, somehow, but not exactly. But there's also not importance. It's not important how it happens, because even when they try and say that there's none else beside Him, and from that source come both the good and the bad, the blows and the cure, but it is our attitude to what happens that makes a difference. That's first and foremost, if we want to see the truth, we come to Kabbalah, otherwise we can't see the truth. And then we find that the Creator doesn't send anything, but to begin with, everything we have is caused by a state we are in, that we are uncorrected, opposite to the Creator. And that state in and of itself is felt as bad, so that we will see it as a means for correction and for equalizing with the Creator. The Creator doesn't send anything. Everything comes as an order of cause and consequence, in, as he writes, determined laws that are called the revelation of His godliness to His creatures in this world. This is how we go from Oshimo to Oshimo, from state to state. And what is actually at our disposal is only to relate to these situations correctly. That is the only thing that we can change. It is the only thing that depends on us. The situations themselves are unchanging. They are felt differently in us by relating differently to them. In every state, when we are far from the Creator, if we put the purposefulness and the reason, is why do I feel bad, and that it comes so that I will eventually feel myself connected adhesive with the Creator, so when I see myself as an integral part of creation and as a small part of a chain of situations that I have to go through, it gives me a kli, a special kli called the spiritual kli, as opposed to the previous kli. meaning my sensation changes, my perspective changes when I see myself this way. I see my own situation from the perspective of the Creator, so I begin to justify His behavior with me. This is called incomplete righteous. And then I see that I go through all my changes from end to beginning, meaning from the farthest point from the Creator to the closest point to Him. So when I go through all that, I'm called complete righteous, because I have finished justifying Him over every state that I went through. And then I begin to see how the Creator relates purposely toward every creature, to the extent that I am incorporated in every creature. And then I come to a state where, as he writes, that I regret and I feel everyone's glee. I hurt for the pain of the collective, and I also rejoice with the joys of the collective. By justifying the acts of the Creator toward each and every person, by that I acquire a great kli of collective sorrow, and also consequently great joy of the joy of the collective. And so eventually I acquire the entire kli of Adam HaRishon. And this all comes from one perspective: to regard my own state and the state of every person in the world is a purposeful and deliberate attitude. So we don't have so much so many purposes or definitions or things we have to relate to. There's only one thing, really: our own attitude to the Creator and what we need to demand of that attitude. In fact, our demand of Him should be expressed in demanding to reveal His providence over us, these unchanging providence, guidance that appears toward me according to my own Hishtavut Tzua, equivalence of form with it. If I incorporate myself in this guidance with through Hishtavut Tzua, it is called that I'm in adhesion with the Creator. Every religion, all the religions, all faiths, all teachings and beliefs that humanity has developed do not do it, do not demand of people to change. They do demand of people to change toward people, to be nicer, to be better people, but they do not demand of us to change our egoistic attributes, to transform from altruistic property to from egoistic properties to altruistic properties in order to cleave to the Creator, to adhere to Him. That's where religion does not put these objectives, emphasis these objectives. Yesterday, I had a meeting not far from Moscow, on the outskirts of Moscow, with one Maharaja. He came from India, and he sounded like a great person, a very influential person, known to masses, many, many people. I was invited to meet him if I wanted to. Well, all right, so we went. You will see the videos. Well, an old man with a beard, nicely dressed. And we spoke. I asked a few questions. He tried to answer. So he answered like a baby. We have to be good to each other. All religions talk about that. And he also thinks it should be like that. Why do we need to be good to each other? To feel good? To be happy? To have joy all over the world? So, but why do we need to be happy all over the world? Is that the purpose? Is that why we are created? Is this why the world is created? Why not? It'll be so nice. We'll live happily, all of us. This is a very pure person. I don't think he's hypocrite. He's hypocritical, but his perspective is so childish, pure. It was interesting to see people who sat there and wrote every single word that he said. I sat next to him before the camera. There were many people on the floor writing devotedly every word he said, every word he uttered at me. It's nice, but you can see that humans cannot produce from within the entire structure of reality that we're studying, the reason, the cause for it, answer the essential questions about the Creator, His behavior. This can only be done by studying Kabbalah. I would even say by implementing Kabbalah. Questions? Yes, please. In the middle, somewhere next to Nessie. Gilad, you said that religions normally want us to change, but not our egoistic attributes of the Creator. You said that the only thing that they want us to do is change among people. So is this change that I do toward another person, doesn't it make me change within somehow?
No.
I didn't understand what you were asking. From the beginning, you spoke about religions. You said that the only change we go through is among people. That's what religions talk about. They do not talk about me changing with regard to the Creator. With regard to the Creator, you also, well, no, we see that if we if we look at prayers, you see that you have to thank the Creator. You want to ask of Him. You ask of Him to change you, but not to change you according to Him, so that you will cleave to Him, so that you will equalize with Him, so that you will ascend on a spiritual ladder. We only ask for improvement of human attributes, meaning that you will use your ego as less as possible to be better toward others, to be able to somehow restrain yourself. That's what it's about. All the religions All religions stem from one sensation of baseness toward the Creator. All religions have this fundamental element that speak of man's flaw opposite the Creator, that man is flawed, humans are bad, that they because of that we have a conflict with the Creator. And that's why we suffer, and that's why we must suffer. And there's some kind of this gap between humans and the Creator is expressed as something negative in all the religions. And if we were to change only that, meaning that the reason for our bad situation, for our bad attributes, is a good reason, that only out of that can we feel godliness, reach, come to know Him, to equalize in form with Him, that this bad thing that appears in us is the best possible thing, and we should not be ashamed of it, because these attributes are attributes that the Creator placed in us. So half of the reconstruction of religion falls, because the attitude to our bad attributes, or my bad attributes, if I relate them not to me but to the Creator, yes, go to the craftsman who made me, who created this in me, so that from that, from within it, I will relate to Him, so that I will understand Him. Yes, as far as light excelleth darkness, so I come to respect the darkness no less than the light. And then I do not cry for my nature, or feel inferior and feel despicable, and as religion, the whole structure of religion puts man into a state of being flawed with regards to the Creator. On the contrary, we have to feel ourselves close to the Creator. All these obscene inclinations in us, as Balasaram writes, they are not us, but turn to the one who made us this way, and you will see that they are here, they are in us for a sublime purpose. He writes about it in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. Do not decide regarding yourself or the Creator or the world that it's good or bad before you decide that you relate to it this way. And it's not that this is really how it is. And then you can see that the negative things are not negative, and were created for our correction. So if you relate to them creatively, you stop seeing them immediately as negative, and start relating to them as positive. This point is critical, and it is that which separates a religious person from a Kabbalist. Yes, please. Okay, so I understand that religion missed it, but we're talking about discovering the Creator among us in this interaction in the group. Right, so religions miss that point, but maybe in that subtle point when we ask, when we try and be good to each other, does that promote us? If I want to be good to others, because that's what religion says. Religion says, be good to others, and you will feel good. Kabbalah says, be good to others, because the Creator wants it, as a condition to equalize in form with Him. If it weren't for the purpose of creation, to equalize with the Creator, we wouldn't have to be good. The Creator created us corrupted, if you might say that. He created us evil to one another, and He did it not so that we would just resolve this world, work it out, yes, our desire to kill each other, but He created in us. He created that in us so that we use it purposefully to reach the purpose of creation. Everything that He created is to reach that purpose. And if you use all these bad things only in order to delete them so that they will seemingly not exist, then it's like you're saying to the Creator that these bad things He created just like that, without any reason, purposelessly. What are you going to do? Correct the acts of the Creator by deleting them? Any negative thing that appears in us, we have to weigh. We feel bad about it. Are we going to delete this bad attribute because it makes me feel bad? If so, then I'm just doing something egoistic. Or I test and preserve this attribute and learn how to use it to perform an opposite operation, an altruistic operation, not because it'll make me feel good in the same corporal senses, but this correction will be as a springboard, as a reason for equalizing in form with the Creator. The purpose has to be different. The purpose of creation. Adhesion with the Creator. Dvikut. And the purpose of creation is not that I will feel good in attributes that I feel bad currently. By that, I do not leave my ego. I do not leave this world. Just being good to each other is not the purpose. And we see that as much as humanity wanted to be good to each other, they tried it in communism in many situations, in kibbutzim in Israel. People wanted to build smaller or greater societies or communities that wanted to be good to each other. But the Creator always stood against it and ruined these possibilities for them. He did not let them exist. Rabbi Salam explains it. Well, in several articles he explains it. Find his articles and add them in. Yes, the wrong that Russia did when she tried to perform love their friends herself for people. Meaning, if we do not do things to reach that goal, if we do not go hand in hand with the Creator, then all our operations are not good. They might be very nice. You can see how religions brag about the good things that they demand of man. But have you ever seen a religion that where people are good because they're not purposeful? Yes, Gilad. You said that we have to be creative several times. What does that mean? Creative meaning that as a result of an action of my attitude, I will be more like the Creator. Creative in the sense that I will position myself on a higher level. That's what it means. That's what I meant. Yes. Yeah, on, please. From what you say and from the article, we find that there cannot be a connection. There's a resentment between Kabbalah and religion. And we know that there should be a connection at some point. Where is this bridge between the inner work of Kabbalah and the outer work of religion? When will it be and what will it be based on? Can there be a connection, a bridge between Kabbalah and religion? Baal HaSulam tells us in the article in Matan Torah that religion is not for in order to benefit people. It is also not in order to benefit the Creator, but it is for the working person. That's the essence of religion and its purpose. That's the article. We think that the Creator created the world in order to do good. How? By giving people religion. But that's not the way it is. We see that religion cannot give people a good life. And that is also the correction that the Creator does not enable religious people reach a certain state of satiation. Otherwise, we would all go into this blur and remain in it. But there is, in the development of the souls, there are such souls that demand this correction and must work with screens and equalize in form. And these are souls that feel these opposite states to the Creator. Those are us. There are souls that as yet do not feel it. Perhaps it will come in the next generation. There will be also such souls that cannot feel that will almost be that will practically never be able to feel it. Baal HaSulam says that in the last generation there will be people who do not feel that they have to change, that they have to reach Dvikut, equivalence of form with the Creator. There will be such people in the human pyramid and you will not be able to demand of them to change. Just as today we cannot come to people and say, why don't you awaken? Where are you? We give them some kind of knowledge of what exists in reality. And those who are ripe already react to this knowledge that we circulate. But those who cannot react, what can you do? It's just the opposite. Do not put an obstacle before a blind person, because it's an obstacle for them. They haven't grown yet. There's a layer like that in humanity, and it might be billions, as opposed to the progressed, who might be millions or maybe thousands. There might be billions who are unable to feel. Look, if we check relatively what is happening in our universe, how many people there are as opposed to animals and insects and anything in the animate world, and then check the vegetative world and the still world. Yes, the entire universe is still. The entire universe. So how many flora is there? How many animals and how many people? So if we look at this pyramid, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, we will see that the still is 99.99% of the rest of the still vegetative animate in speaking this in terms of volume. Perhaps there is the same ratio in humanity. We have 8 billion people today in the world, and they're all still, except maybe a million people. All of them. So you can't demand of them to change. But as Baal HaSulam says in the article The Last Generation, that this layer should only agree to relate to you, to belong to you. And that's their correction. And also pledge to give their children to your upbringing. But you too, in your upbringing, will have to be very, very merciful, patient with them. You will have to give them only according to what they want. You can't coerce them. So it turns out that even in our dissemination, we cannot calculate the correction of the world according to the number of heads, the number of people. How will there be a connection? You say in religion is what the majority believe, and Kabbalah are only a minority. Will there be a connection between Kabbalah and religion? There cannot be a connection, because Kabbalah and religion have different objectives, and if these people, these still people, want to be the basis of the pyramid of mankind that connects with the Creator, where they too will connect with the Creator, their connection with the Creator, it says that they will be like the dust under the feet of the righteous, meaning they will have to accept this message as they accept religion. Just accept it. Even if they do not understand or feel it. And that's what I see, that's what I saw yesterday with that Maharaja. People sat there I asked them, who are they? All these people, well, most of them are very, very well educated. They've read many things, or they take interest in many things. But they believe this person who that he pours to them something from above, you know. So there are only a few who are in that level as he is of stillness. So they accept these things. So they should also accept what Kabbalah tells them in the same way. All right, so are we done with that first part? Yes, please. Niv. Going back to creativity. If we're trying to be creative, there must be more than one way to relate to my egoistic desire. Is there a way that we will promote that will promote me more toward the sensation of the necessity opposite to despair? Once more, Hafsid. When you mentioned creativity, is there a creative way to relate to my egoism that will promote me more quickly to that critical phase between the necessity and despair, that will bring me to that state of necessity opposite despair, that will produce the prayer in me that will overturn my intention? Because creativity might mean that there are several ways to relate to that egoistic desire. One person can see it as an illusion, another person can resist it, but it can serve the same purpose. In fact, perhaps what you're asking is, what is the best way for us to realize, to utilize every state so as not to fall into despair, but immediately do the right thing? Is that it? Oh, well, let's see. Only the importance of the goal. We always have these two ends. I feel good or bad. That's in my vessels of sensation. And in my mind, I feel the connection with the goal. Is the goal important or not? If the goal is important, more than good or bad in my sensation, then the purpose determines. And then my act is fruitful, meaning I really do advance and can use this good or bad sensation, it doesn't matter which, for the benefit of the goal. If the importance of the goal is less than the sensation, then the sensation determines, and then I have no choice but to do something to improve my feeling. And then it doesn't matter what my goal is, my purpose, my goal becomes to feel better. So it turns out that in my situation, in what I go through, in all the changes that I go through, there's nothing more to worry about other than the importance of the goal. And then I'm certain to do good things. The importance of the goal is given by society. There is no one else, there is nothing else. Books and Rav and the study too, yes. But we know that these are only very, very partial things. Individuals are built in such a way that they are impressed with the social environment. That's where we take our impressions from. That's where we take our values from. That is why the more we build our environment as a good, strong, united, directed society to one goal, and everyone will be influenced by it, will advance accordingly. One should not care for one's own state, but only about the group, that it'll be directed toward the goal. If the goal is burning in the group, that's it. Everyone advances. And profits from it. So that's what we have to ask. Have we not forgotten that this is the only thing we should do? Yes, Sanya. How can such people like the Maharaja become respectful of Kabbalah? We cannot bring them to Kabbalah because they have no idea. They don't understand the questions we're asking. When I ask him, all right, so we'll live good in this world, but what next? He says, what else do you need? We feel bad. We have a bad life. We'll have a good life. Other than this world, there are 14 other planets where there is life. So we'll travel from one another and we'll live in them happily also. So I asked, so what are you telling me, that we need to have these trips? Yes, of course. Now we're killing each other then. So in the future we'll love each other. So this is like a flower person. I didn't want to hurt him, of course, and it is forbidden. But I was a little aggressive with him because he told me in the middle, you can't relate to this person like that. You have to only listen to this person and accept it. So I said, I'm sorry. I came from a far country to see this special person, so let me ask a few questions. So when I came out, Slutska and everyone signaled, come, let's go, there's nothing more to do. So I said afterwards, well, I hope the few moments I've had with you will change my entire life. So he took it well. And then his assistants didn't even let us leave. They felt we were unsatisfied, so they said, if you want to ask about the light, then he can talk about it a lot. As it is, he spoke for 40 minutes for every question and didn't say anything. So I don't... You know, this is a good person who teaches everyone else to be good. It's fine. He believes in it. It's called holy steel. Who teaches everyone else to be good? How can he understand that there's something beyond it? So I asked him, all right, so the Creator did something bad, now we'll correct it to be good, so that we will feel good. Is there anything else? I didn't ask why he did it. He said something like, we shouldn't ask about it. The issue of dvikut, equivalence of form and ascent, there's no such thing. In order to bestow, right now you're bad, you try and do good things. That's called in order to bestow. It is not acquiring a different nature. Of course, it's not there, it doesn't exist there. Well, you started saying, you know, everyone will love each other, and then the religion is about that. So I didn't want to talk about their castas. They have these people that you are forbidden to even touch. They have these Brahmanim in India. Where is your equality? Where is your love? What are you talking about? I didn't want to do that. So, concealment is according to the development. Alright, I am in overtime now. So we agreed that we're going to work on this article, and we'll add more parts to it. Don't afraid to turn it into something big. Make it like a book. The most important is the origins that can support this. From Barasaram, Rabash, don't be afraid to add.